The Mac Observer's Mac Geek Gab, number 80 for November 27th,
2006. Greetings, folks, and welcome to the Mac Observer's Mac Geek Gab. Do you think I'll ever get sick of saying that, John?
You haven't so far.
No, I haven't. It just kind of rolls off the tongue.
And you've said it more than 80 times.
I have. It's true. I have said it more than 80 times. That's right. There have been a couple of false starts, as it were. Not too many, though. I think it's less than 85.
Well, last week we had six takes. I don't know what happened there.
Six false starts. That's right. Yeah, but that never got quite to that point. So. Mm-hmm. All right, so so we've made it through Thanksgiving here in the U.S., of course, and are heading careening. We're not careening. We are in the holiday season here. There's no question about that.
Whatever holiday you may choose to observe.
Yeah, and in whatever way you choose to observe it. But many of them are very much centered around lists of things, right? And in a lot of cases, things that we want to buy for other people or other people are going to buy or make or create for us. And so as we did last year, John,
there's another option that, you know, there's this guy that brings this stuff.
Oh yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's right.
Kind of big and wears red.
Yeah, that's right. He doesn't shave much. Maybe we could get him Norelcos. Everybody could just buy him, you know, Norelcos and bronze. Don't you have a family discount on that, John?
Yeah, wrong family.
Oh, sorry.
I wouldn't be doing this if that was.
What are you trying to say? Wow. I'm telling. So John and I have created our own wish list for this holiday season. But these are things that though we'd love to receive them They don't necessarily exist. In fact, they necessarily do not exist, and that's kind of the whole idea behind our wish list each year. So you get the peek into the minds of the two geeks that sit on this side of the microphones.
Yeah, we can dream, and you know the other thing is that sometimes I want to talk about my needs.
Do you?
And your needs, Dave.
Okay, but that's for another show.
We deal with people's problems. What about my needs?
Wow.
Okay, for the people who haven't turned this off,
yeah,
that was humor.
But we've also peppered the show, or will be peppering the show, full of coupons. We went to a bunch of our favorite vendors in the Mac market, and some of them responded with coupon codes. We asked them all for coupon codes that we could share with you. For the moment, these coupon codes will only be available listening to the show. We'll put a list of the people whose coupon codes are mentioned in the show, but you've actually got to listen to the show to catch these codes. So it's just going to be, we're just going to mention them quick. We've got quite a few of them to go through, but not all of our favorite vendors were able to create coupon codes. So this is by no means a list of those people the only people that we like. It's just some of the places that we like, and I can't even guarantee that we're going to get to all of them.
Though we told them all that our listeners do whatever we say.
So. That's right. Yes. So remember,
a big windfall.
Big windfall. That's right. This is good for all of us. Remember that. That's right. All right. So I am going to start my wish list here with, you know, one thing that I think would be really cool to have, John, would be, and it's not really Mac related, but that's okay. You know how every 2 years you wind up shopping for a new cell phone, right? And you always, in the back of your mind, you say, well, should I change carriers? Because I really, for whatever reason, I hate my carrier. We all hate our cell carriers, right? Wouldn't it be nice to be able to have a little device that you could take with you wherever you go normally and have it show you the relative signal strengths of all of the favorite carriers in your area? Wouldn't that be handy? It'd be something that you could rent. I mean, you rent it for $10 for 2 days or something. It'd be invaluable, right? You could take it in your house. You walk around, upstairs, downstairs. And I realize that every phone is different, but at least you'd be getting an idea of which carriers have better signals in different places. So I think that would be cool. I mean, we've got it with Wi-Fi networks, right? Why can't we do this with cell networks? I think that would be good.
Well, I think you can. The The problem now, I think, is the equipment that does that is in the back of the van that these guys drive around.
Yeah, the Can You Hear Me Now van.
I know they got to have a you know, pretty cool piece of RF equipment that tells them how they're doing their competitors' signal strength and they're trying to outdo each other.
You know they do. So why hasn't somebody just put one on the market for me to buy? Right.
Well, you know, just the kind of a related kind of rant that I see you reference in here is, why can't the U.S. get its act together? Ah, what a pain in the neck. Like, especially with me. Now, I don't have a problem with my provider, Verizon. I'm pretty happy with them. But I got to get a CDMA phone. And you got these phones that, you know, you're limited. It'd be nice. My understanding is Europe is, I guess, GSM, right?
Yeah, we have GSM here in the U.S. too.
Kind of, but I know. From what I understand, people that travel or it's another protocol.
No.
Understanding is that it's not the soup that it is over here in other parts of the world. That they've kind of standardized their.
I see what you're saying. So every carrier in Europe tends to use GSM, whereas most carriers in the U.S. use GSM. But I think there's two still that use CDMA. The interesting
CDMA, and I think you may have some other. You know, weird variations.
Well, we used to have TDMA, right? No, I think Sprint is CDMA as well, if I'm not. Or is Sprint still PCS? I don't think so. I think they moved to CDMA. But,
Yeah, but a lot of the things, like to me, like early termination fees, I'm like, what are you talking about?
Well, that's just business right there.
That's just crazy.
Yeah, well, you know, that's business. Oh, you can go to, if you want it out of your cell service, see, bonus stuff. Go to, I believe it's cellswap.com, and you can actually trade contracts with other people. So if you want out of your cell thing, cellswap.com. I think I've got that right. If I don't, we'll throw it in the show notes. I've got it over at the house. So there's your free advice. All right, what's your what's first on your wish list there?
First on my list, it's something that came up when I was trying to put some. Surround speakers in what I'm going to call my living room or entertainment center.
Okay.
For a while, I had wires running across the carpet, but many people commented that was, you know, kind of deadly.
Yeah.
And they were going to trip over them, and it'd just be a big liability lawsuit. So eventually, I found out how to get under the entertainment room because it didn't have a notable way of accessing it. But anyways, so once I wired up the surround speakers, I'm like, what a pain in the... Because for the longest time before that, I was thinking, somebody has to make some decent wireless surround speakers.
Oh, yeah.
I looked around a lot, and I didn't find too many options that really made me happy or that were, you know, standards-based. Now, so what the thing I'm wishing for, and I think it's happening as we speak, but is to get everybody on the same page. So Bluetooth is what I'm talking about.
I see.
We saw that vendors, Belkin was showing something recently that, you know, had a... Bluetooth 2.0 EDR, so you could stream audio and all
wouldn't,
that great
wouldn't
stuff.
The problem with Bluetooth be the delay caused by the A to D and D to A conversion, though?
I think once you start streaming, I don't think that's a problem.
Well, but it is a problem if you want it to sync with your front speakers that are not going through the A to D and D to A, right?
Could be.
So I mean, because
how do you figure that out?
Well, they've got RF, right? I mean, they've got wireless speakers that use RF, and that seems to work fine for a lot of folks.
Mm-hmm.
So, I think that's what I think that's the answer there, because you'd have to have either everything running on Bluetooth or none of it, right? And even then, can you somehow could you sync the two up, right? Because Bluetooth is spotty, right? I mean, it's burstable, right? So, while for streaming it works, if you're streaming to multiple sources, although I guess like the folks at Rogue Amoeba figured that out. With the AirTunes thing that they came out with, and I can't remember the name of it, but if you go to rogueamoeba.com, they've got this product that would allow you to stream the same signal to multiple Airport Express base stations or receivers and actually have them all in sync so that you'd have the same sound happening all at the same time. So maybe it is possible to sync up that Bluetooth thing.
Yeah. So maybe it is. I think the pieces of the technology are out there. But I was looking, one, for surround speakers that wouldn't require me to crawl around under a building.
Right, right, right.
And I didn't want to run them under the rug. But I understand, as you're pointing out, there are some technical challenges with
airfoil,
the speed of the radio signal. And then I was thinking, wouldn't it be also be neat to get this, because I think we talked about this before, to communicate with other sound systems, like maybe the one in my car, maybe send songs to it. And I'm trying to remember if I've heard of somebody doing this. I mean, maybe a third party setup, you could certainly do this.
Right.
You know, with a wireless access point and stuff in the car. I think people did that with the Mac Mini there.
That's right. Oh, yeah. Yeah, people have.
But to have something fluid so you could just press a button somewhere and say, okay, download this playlist to my car, rather than having a CD carousel or something.
Yeah.
So that's one wish I have in the audio Bluetooth world.
All right. I'll echo a wish of many, many people out there. Where is the real video iPod? I mean, can we just have that already? Don't you think that this was the holiday season maybe for that to come out? I understand that Apple doesn't...
What do you mean real video?
Well, I mean, the current iPod... Well, Apple doesn't call the current iPod a video iPod. In fact, they've gone out of their way to not call it a video iPod. They call it an iPod with video. Mm-hmm. And it's fine, right? But we've all heard the rumors. We know that, you know, these things have been created in various capacities. Why can't we just have the stupid thing? What's the holdup here, folks? Let's just get it out. You know, the widescreen... And you know, let's go. Giddy up. Where is it? That's number two on my
list. I've seen, who is it? Arcos, is it? One of the vendors?
Yeah. But that's not an iPod, man.
No, it's not. But they appear to be properly sized portable media.
I'll buy that, yeah.
Players.
I won't buy it.
Yeah, I've seen them at the shows. They look pretty nice. Yeah, I don't think I purchased one with my own money, but...
Right.
They look like a step in the right direction. Yeah. If you could Apple-fy it.
That's what I wanted. Applified, that's why we're here.
Cool and elegant, and well thought out.
Yeah, and obviously that what you just said there is the answer to my what's the holdup question, right? They're Applifying this thing. They want it to be cool and elegant and well thought out. So there you go.
Yeah, same with the though. I don't think we'll see this for a while because I've used these, but a tablet.
Yeah. Yeah.
There was a lot of rah-rah. I've actually done some work with some of the early tablets like Fujitsu and all that. And, it's a niche. It's not something that everybody needs or wants. I mean, certain people can draw, people that, do like the clipboard thing all day. Okay, sure, maybe. But, boy, there were a lot of shortcomings. And everybody was saying, oh, Apple's going to make a tablet. I mean, and I think Microsoft has been marginally successful in promoting that.
The
vendors too.
I think if we have a sizable population of people that have used Windows tablets listening to the show, my guess is that there are a good percentage of them that are shaking their fists in anger at your last comment. Well, no, because I know people that aren't artists and aren't clipboard type people that are absolutely in love with their tablets. I have yet to grok that fascination myself, but people that use laptops for much the same reasons that you and I would use them are very much in love with their tablets. I think from the whole portability idea. Who knows? If you are using a tablet for non-artistic purposes, send in a comment and let us know. 206-666-GEEK.
Yeah. What I do like are the hybrid ones that are both a tablet and... So it can act as both a portable machine and as just a tablet. I don't like the tablet-only one.
Right.
Too limiting.
All right, so before you go, Macworld Expo coupon code, if you registered by December 11th and you use the coupon code B-N as in November, Q as in quota, then you get early bird pricing. So B as in boy is the beginning of that. B-NQ by December 11th for Macworld Expo. At MacworldExpo.com. All right, what's next, John?
Okay. All right, we're gonna try to manage this here. But you see the next thing on my list.
Go.
Here's the big wish. DRM that doesn't get in the way and gives me my rights.
Yeah, good luck.
I will say that Apple has, though I don't believe it was their choice, has done about as good a job as one could expect to not make it too annoying with iTunes and all that. With the music, yeah.
Okay.
I mean, every now and then a prompt will come up if the machine's not authorized, asking you to identify yourself. There are some limitations which I think are not too bad for most people, but there are a vocal few who feel that they're insufficient. You know, the playlist burning and the number of authorized machines and and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So we're having a problem, and I see something related to this on your list too. But it seems to me the pendulum has swung over to the collective might
yes.
of the media companies, and they're screaming, oh, piracy, we're going to go broke.
When you know, I remember...
They seem to be selling more and more and more every year. And
that's
are
right.
you going to say history repeats itself, Dave?
I was just going to say history repeats itself. Yeah, I remember in the days when you and I met, and there were folks that we knew of, who shall remain nameless, who were able to figure out ways around the copy protection built into software, right? And
do tell.
And so what would happen is someone would release software with copy protection on the disk. You couldn't copy the disk. Gee, sounds like a DVD today, right? And so somebody would create a way to copy this disk and then release it to the public. And everybody would say, ha, 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 screw you. They'd stick it to the man. And that was that. And it became a challenge, right? I mean, I remember there was software that would come out and they would try to crack it within hours, right? I mean, it was, you know, tried to get it down to being measured within hours, not days. I even remember one thing at an Apple Fest where somebody swiped a disc from a booth or something, and it was cracked, as the story goes, cracked in the hotel room that night. I think it was some helicopter sim game, but whatever.
Yeah, I remember that room full of people that I heard
yes,
somebody talk about.
That's right. And so, you know, if you remove... It will constantly be this battle, right? If you create the war will happen. So why not just let it go, right? Did the record companies lose and the movie companies lose money year after year after year after year when we had albums, tapes, and by albums I mean of course LPs, tapes, and CDs that we were copying to tapes or whatever. And of course, the movie companies, did they lose big when we had these VCRs in our houses and we could make a copy of a videotape?
Of course not. If anything, they made even more money.
Ding, ding,
I mean,
ding.
The movie right. companies love it now because a lot of times they will sell more of something in VCR or, you know, well, people have pronounced the death of that, or DVD than they do in the theaters.
Right.
Wow, gee, you figured it out and you're yeah. making money. Good job. Now do it again.
That's right. Yeah, now do it again. That's right. You know, it also reminds me of the old days when, you know, you had to pay per minute for long distance, whereas now you can just pay a flat rate and get a monthly thing. And, you know, people figured out a way around that, too. People were making phone calls for free, or so I understand. So, you know, there's just, you just got to stop. But anyway, we're here talking about things that don't exist. And what doesn't exist is DRM that stays out of our way, because I don't think there is such a thing. I think it just has to go away. Gadgetlocker.com, which is also the Think Different store, $5 off your order if you use MacGeek 2006 before the end of the year. All right, the next thing on my list, John, and I know you just ordered one
timely.
Of these.
Yes.
I
have feelings about this.
I know
I
you
will
do.
Very shortly.
I know you do. The You know that we're TiVo fans here and have been struggling with whether or not to buy the Series 3 HD TiVo. And the problem is this thing costs, by the time you transfer your membership and all that stuff, it costs $1,000.
Well, you're kind of exaggerating.
Oh, yeah. Well,
$799 for the unit and $199 for the transfer.
That's right. So, yeah, I want my $2, right? There you go. Why? And the thing's got all this stuff. It's THX certified. It's got all this stuff that I don't care about. And I'm a geek, right? And I don't care about this stuff. I just want an HD thing that runs TiVo's software. That's all I'm looking for, right? No, they won't give me that for less than $1,000. If you could get me in at like $500-$600, I'd have bought one already. We wouldn't be having this conversation. Why don't they do that? So if anybody out there works for Comcast and knows when Comcast is going to roll out their TiVo software for their DVRs, that would be good to know. Hint, hint, wink,
gee,
wink. It'll never,
no,
never go anywhere else. So
you know, it'd be a great idea. Now, I felt personally I deserved it because I currently have a Series 1.
That's right.
Philips 60-hour.
Right.
Which very shortly, maybe a lucky listener. We'll talk about that later. Once I get the new one set up.
Oh, okay.
I'm
going
to have one that isn't going to be doing anything.
Aha.
So, I'll have to think about what to do with that.
Oh, we might have a giveaway in our hands.
Well, I don't know about that. Maybe. Who knows?
Do you like how I just throw your stuff up for free here?
Yeah.
You like that?
Yeah, that's great.
Get that. It's a Christmas. It's my way of contributing to the, you know, the season of giving.
But here's something I could see them doing, but yeah, probably for various reasons doesn't make sense, but I think you were hinting at this. TiVo software.
Right.
Though I think the reason, kind of like the Mac, the reason I think their platform is successful versus something like, Media Center actually, from what I've seen, isn't too bad.
Yeah.
But TiVo controls everything.
Yeah, but TiVo has licensed their software to DirecTV, right?
And they and Philips and Sony and different people at different times.
And they have licensed it to Comcast. It just hasn't been rolled out yet. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what they tell me. So,
yeah. So it looks like they're carefully doing it. But yeah, their platform, it's so Mac-like.
Yeah,
it just works.
Yeah.
All right. Well, there's Myth. Have you heard of that Myth TV? I think it's called.
Yes. Yeah, I haven't used it though.
Open source.
Yep. I hear people say good things about that. InterArchie.com. Go down to the right-hand side of the page. Click on Mac Geek Gab, and then the special token is Christmas, and you get a discount there as well. So if you want InterArchie, Mac Geek Gab, and the specials on the side, click on that, and then type in Christmas, all lowercase, and that's the magic keyword there. So, all right, what's next on your list, John?
I think I'm going to skip that one thing here.
No, that's good.
Yeah, I had some.
I think so? Yeah, I like it. Go.
It's a bit timely. All right. And ITV, and of course we know Apple announced something here, but basically I'd like to see Apple make an HDTV.
Oh.
You know, I thought they were going there. With when you and I had gotten one of the iMacs, I think it was a 17-inch.
Mm-hmm. It was 20-inch.
Wow. 20-inch, and I'm like, this is almost a little television.
Yeah.
If they only made it bigger, like 30 or 40 inches, put a Mac inside, but made it an HD, LCD would probably make sense, since that's what they're doing anyways.
Yep. Yep.
And then put in all the cool wireless and other networking stuff.
Yep.
I don't know. It just occurred to me when I was, because I recently also, of course, since I got the TiVo, I had to get... a big screen update my television as well. And wouldn't it be nice if Apple made one? I figure I'd give it a serious look because it probably fit in.
Even something that plugs in either component or HDMI that actually does HD, right? Because the ITV, at least in the format that was demoed by Apple a couple months ago, doesn't, right? It doesn't do HD. Now, of course, Apple doesn't sell any HD content, but it would still make sense to do this. There's all the whole, the MPAA, and we're not going to revisit that yet this show. But there's all that gets in the way of putting HD content on your computer, et cetera, et cetera. But it would be nice if it did full HD. So there you go.
Yeah, well, I think they're getting closer because, you do remember, I think was it last year or the year before, but they said this is the year of HD. They upgraded iLife.
Yeah.
To all HD versions.
That's true.
They had the
right.
Sony guy up there showing an HD camcorder.
Yep.
So Apple's going to move. I guess they just got to wait for all the pieces to fall into place. Kind of like, they're selling movies right now, as you pointed out.
Yeah.
They're not in HD format yet, but, that'll come.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because that takes a lot of bandwidth. And I think that's also the issue, like with the TiVos and stuff like that, is, storing it. You're talking, big chunks of storage and big bandwidth.
Right. Right. Yeah. I don't know.
So,
I wanted to talk about our sponsor for this show.
Yeah.
Audio Engine at audioengineusa.com. You've heard us talk about the A5 speakers. In fact, we had some before we could even talk about what they were. These are desktop speakers, separate left and right speakers, so you can place them where you want. They're little cubes. They've got two drivers in each. They are massively powerful, and they'd make a great gift if you want to buy a gift for someone else that's either an audiophile that listens to their computer or maybe even with a little stereo. You can plug your iPod right in. You can charge your iPod from it. So you make a gift, great gift for someone else. Remember, you can also buy a gift for yourself this holiday season. There's nothing wrong with picking up a box underneath the tree or whatever it is. And having it read, from Dave to Dave, right? That's perfectly acceptable. And and you could even buy them if you have neighbors, if you live in an apartment and you don't like your neighbors, You could buy this as a kind of a gift for them. You put it in your apartment and just crank these things up, right? Or maybe you got the hots for the night patrol officer in your neighborhood, and you want him to visit you a lot, so you just crank these things up, and you know the neighbors will call, and then over they come. So
you know, I seem to recall seeing one of their ads recently, which made a claim that you know the speakers that will get your neighbors to the speakers your neighbors can hear.
That's right.
I think that's a great plug.
It is, yeah. So
I can attest to that.
They rock.
I cranked them one time and went outside and I could hear them.
Yeah, they're really, really clear. I use them here in the studio all the time. So Audio Engine USA, the A5 speakers from AudioEngineUSA.com. I want more snow than last year, John. I know that sounds crazy to say, you know, living up here in New Hampshire
like we do.
But we really didn't get that much snow last year. We got like one or two good storms and the rest were kind of just wimpy storms. Now, I know how Murphy's Law works. You know, I'm going to say this and we're just going to get totally dumped on, right? You know, I mean, it's going to be like a big problem, but
it's going to be a glacier in your backyard.
That's what it's going to be. Yeah, that's right. I want more snow this year. So that's my thing.
Oh, assuming that all necessary services
are
operational, like electricity. And
yeah, I just bought a generator this weekend, 8,000 watts. As soon as the electrician wires up my GenFan boxes, I'm good. So
okay, you can look at the Frapper map and see where Dave lives, and head over there when when your power goes out.
That's right. Come on over. We'll have a party.
You can charge your batteries or something.
You can charge your cell phone batteries. That's right. Yeah. Of course, you could charge them in the car on the way over too. But you know, whatever. You got anything else, or are we moving on to our listener feedback and questions and all that good stuff?
No, I told you this was all about me, man.
Oh, yeah, well, then giddy up.
Now, what's my next one? I'm switching over here. Hold on.
Oh, boy. All right, GoDaddy.
No.
GoDaddy.com. Gab, if you enter in the coupon code GAB1, G-A-B-1, 10% off. Go.
Okay, last one on my list. But where's the home of the future?
It's in the future.
That's why I can never have the home of the future.
That's right.
But no, I mean, I'm thinking back fondly to like the things we saw, you know, Disney World, about the future and all that. But my appliances, they're stupid. They don't talk to me.
Nor do they talk to each other.
Yeah, I want this to happen. You know, I want my fridge to know what's inside of it. I want it to, and I've seen concepts of some of this stuff, but I think it'd just be damn cool. So at some point, all your, or even now, you could do this, scanning barcodes on your stuff, but what if your fridge that was inside of it, you could press a button and say, you know, tell me with all this stuff inside of here, what can I make for dinner tonight? Because I don't want to go out shopping. Or if I do, I'll get Peapod, and they'll come in an hour, or it'll order out, or whatever.
Yeah.
But it knows what you have, and also the washer. I mean, you know, if you put a tag or a barcode or something with the clothes, I mean, make sure that you never get pink underwear because you put the whites in with the
right,
the colors. Or even the thing that I've been thinking about lately is a lot of the environmental control in your house, the heater, the AC, humidity, all that stuff. Wouldn't it be nice to capture and graph that? And I know people make
the smart home stuff that I actually tested it a couple of years ago. It would be interesting to dig back in and do a show on that. But they do have thermostats that you can pull the data. You can not only can you pull the data down to your Mac, but you can actually control them with your Mac. So I think that's smarthome.com. So yeah, it was actually pretty cool. To go briefly into it, it was, I think, what, 2, maybe 3 years ago, this time of year, they'd sent me some of that stuff. I was doing an article for Mac Addict, and what I did was set it up so that my Mac controlled all the Christmas lights in my house, and I could control it I had a T616, a Sony Ericsson T616 cell phone that had Bluetooth. And so with the phone, I could tell the Mac to turn the lights on and off in the living room because it was, you know, within about 30 feet on the Bluetooth. So that was actually pretty cool. But I know what you mean. There's not enough that integration thing isn't there. I mean, you know, now they say it's a smart home if they wire it with Cat 5 or something. You know, it's like, well, okay, great, that's good. But plug my fridge into the Cat 5, and now we're talking. You know.
Yeah, and your TV, and of course, you know, all your entertainment center.
Right.
I'm into also like utilities, for example, your because right now they're wireless. Your gas meter, your electric meter. In most areas, they just drive by and pick it up. They don't have to physically read it anymore.
Yep.
Water meter, and then you could tie that all into your house and say, okay, what do I do if I want to, you know, maximize my efficiency or stuff like that?
Yeah.
So X10, they had at one point that did some of that stuff, turning things on and off anyways.
I thought that was all porn. At least that's what their ads, isn't that what all their ads looked like? Didn't, I mean, every time I think of X10, I think of, you know, the cameras spying on ladies in the bathroom, because that's what all their ads indicated you could do with this thing.
Actually, I think that was in the bad old days of pop-ups.
They were the first to really make a huge pop-up buy on the internet. That's
very
right.
Very racy ads. That
racy, there you go.
Begged for you, if you were male, to click on them.
Yeah. Yeah, which, I mean, you know, I understand why they did it. It just kind of leaves a bad taste in your mouth when you think about them now. So,
yeah, so that's pretty much my list.
RogueAmoeba.com, $5 off any order, coupon code MacGeekGab. I have one other thing that I'll dovetail into a little hint. In iChat, it would be great if you could have nicknames for people to show up in your buddy list. Because right now, you know, my dad shows up as his full name, right? I mean, it should be, I should just be able to have it say Dad, right? You know, that kind of thing. It'd be cool. But I don't want its name to be different in my address book, right? So I want a way of doing nicknames. Maybe there's a way to do this. One thing I found, you know, I'm Mr. Virtual Company here, right? I have no one, I have my own office, and then Lisa sometimes works up here in the studio a couple mornings a week for me. But in my office, I'm constantly dealing with people, but there's no one in front of me. And I've found over the years that with, you know, with iChat, there's a lot of iChat going on and a lot of email going on. And you can sometimes, I'm sure you've all found this, you sometimes lose sight of the fact that you're dealing with a real life person on the other end, and things can often get a little heated, you know, I mean, depending on what you're discussing.
And
it's easier to kind of, you know, bash on someone when they're not in front of you. You know, you say things in email and iChat that you might not say in actual, you know, face to face or even phone conversation. And one of my business partners, Greg Snyder, at Backbeat Media, he stumbled onto this great thing. I believe it's him, but if it wasn't, he's the one that told me about it. What he started doing was he found pictures of everyone's face that was in his buddy list, and just put all their faces in his address book, so that they show up not only in his iChat buddy list, but also in his email. So now anytime he's typing to someone, most of the time he's typing to a face. And he told me, Steve, it really makes me remember that I'm dealing with a human on the other end. And I started doing the same thing, and it's been awesome. It really makes a difference. So if you're someone who's kind of stuck in that world a lot, give it a try. It really can help. But the nickname thing would be cool too. So
yeah, so that's why you did that. Okay.
that's why you now see my face I made my buddy icon. I just used my built-in eyesight in the MacBook Pro to take a silly little picture of my face and put that out there.
It scared me.
It scares everyone, as well it should. You know, one of our listeners had one of their wishes granted when we were talking about resumable podcast downloads a couple of weeks ago. I hazarded an educated guess that Juice, formerly iPodder Lemon, I believe, was able to do this. And Garth from the Juice team wrote me back just this week and said, yep, we do resumable downloads. We do all kinds of configuring. You can set how many feeds and how many simultaneous feeds and how many simultaneous downloads you want to do. It all sorts of stuff, but it definitely does the resumable thing. So if you are listening to this on dial-up, get Juice. You probably already have it. And then that's the way to go. So
juicy.
Juice. 206-666-GEEK is how you talk to us, and I think we're about to hear from someone that did exactly that. Are we ready to move on here, John? I think we are. Moving right along. Of course, I need to get back in gear here. All right, well, Mark had an interesting comment, and then Jesse had a question, so we'll go with Mark first.
Hey, John and Dave, this is Mark Fleischer. I have a comment about show number 79 and Jason's question about the Finder windows. In column view, what you can do is hold the option key down when you drag, and that'll keep the width the same. It will reset when you restart, but as for the entire time that you have the computer up and running, it will stay that way. Okay, thanks.
So there you go. That's interesting. It's like I said, it's one of those things. Mm-hmm. Okay, so Jesse wrote in and asked, hi guys, I have a couple of questions regarding swap files and page faults. I tend to keep my iBook running most of the time and generally reboot every once in a while to clean things up a bit. Currently, my uptime is 7 days and usually doesn't end up being much more than that. However, even with that small amount of uptime, my swap files are surpassing 1 gigabyte. Can these safely be removed out of /private/var/VM? Secondly, do you have a quick and dirty explanation of page faults? Using menu meters, I keep an eye on page faults, and they are constantly growing quite quickly, upwards of 53 million currently. The cache hits percentage is also very low, approximately 4-5%. Are these numbers normal, and is there any way of optimizing the virtual memory a bit to keep things more zippy? Okay, so I'm going to answer the first question first. Can swap files safely be removed? No, you cannot delete them. The system will do everything in its power to keep you from deleting them. There is valuable and important information stored in at least some of them, and you don't know what. So the only way to, the system will delete them when it doesn't need them anymore is what I've found. Have you found the same thing, John?
I'm with you, man. Don't touch this.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, so now page faults. I believe a page fault, I should have researched this, but I didn't. But I'm pretty sure a page fault is when an application via the OS goes to read something from memory and realizes it's not in memory. It's been paged out to disk, and so now we need to read that data in from the disk. Is that what you understand page faults to be, John?
That a page fault is when it does not find it in the preferred area, which is
okay.
RAM chip.
Got it. Okay, good.
Hey, anybody there? Oh, yeah. Sorry. Though it's no one's fault, really.
Yeah, exactly. Okay.
Now the rate, though.
The cache hit percentage is exactly is related to page faults, right? Because the cache hit would be when it goes to read something from RAM that's been cached and it's not there. So I noticed my cache hit percentage on my MacBook when I read this email was about 63%. And he's saying that his was 4-5%. So the answer, which I think I sent Jesse via email earlier today, for any of you that got emails from me today in response to questions you sent to the show, the answers were all very short. I was pressed for time here. But my quick answer was buy more RAM, which is exactly what Jesse needs.
Yeah, on my PowerBook G4, just to give you a reference here, I have a 26.5% cache hit rate,
okay,
which is pretty good.
And just at the moment, how much RAM is free?
Free. 544 megs used, 735 free.
Okay. Well, there you go. Wait, no. You're not looking at free, though. You're adding inactive and free together to get that number, aren't you?
I'm looking at the first line that Menu Meters has, which is used, free, and total. So.
Okay, look down to memory pages.
Mm-hmm.
Right, second line that memory that Menu Meters has.
Right.
So you've got active, wired, inactive, and free.
Mm-hmm.
What's free there?
Oh, free there, 45 megs.
Okay, that makes more sense. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So I guess it sounds like if you're in the tens of percent on cache hits, but yeah, 1%. That sounds.
Yeah. You need more RAM.
Like it's struggling.
Yeah. And more RAM will. Make it more zippy, I believe, is what you were looking for there.
Zippy.
Yeah. All right. Joe begged and pleaded with us here. He said he needed help, so we can't turn him
Hi, out. Guys. Love your show. Really enjoy listening to it. I've learned a lot from it. But I need help with Apple Mail, and I've tried a bunch of things, and nothing has been of any value to me, so I'd like to see what you can help me with. On a trip recently, I realized that my 17-inch laptop couldn't receive or send mail any longer, but I could receive mail fine, and all other things seemed to be okay. When I got home, the laptop synced with my G5 20-inch iMac, and then suddenly I couldn't send mail from that either. The connection doctor in mail says that it cannot connect to any of the SMTP servers that I have, .Mac, Gmail, Yahoo, and my Verizon, my service provider. I tried a bunch of things. I changed accounts, but I still have the same problem in the different account. I zapped my parameter RAM. I rebooted. Deleted and reestablished an account, but no change there. What should I do? You can reach me at...
We'll skip that. Okay, so this is a strange one. I was with him, and I thought, oh, I know what it is. His provider's just blocking access to alternate SMTP servers until he said that he can't get to his provider's SMTP server either, which is Verizon. So I'm gonna assume that that's correct, that everything he said there is correct, and that he simply can't connect to any SMTP server, which is strange. Usually some providers, and I think yours will do this, John, right? They'll block access to port 25 to outside of their network to keep people from inadvertently sending spam out, because some viruses will do that. But that's not what's happening here, at least not if we make this assumption. So what I would do is open up a terminal and type, and what you want to try to do is connect to... And let's use your provider's mail server on port 25. So you type telnet, T-E-L-N-E-T, space, your provider's mail server name. I'm just going to make up mail.verizon.net, and then another space, and then 25, because you want to try to connect to it on port 25. It's either going to tell you that it made a connection and it's just waiting for you to type something, or it's going to say connection could not be made. If it says that it made a connection, now we know that the problem is something inside mail. If it doesn't make a connection, then we know that the problem is system-wide. Would you agree so far, John?
So far, I'm with you.
All right. And now, at that point, let's say the problem is outside of mail, and he can't get to port 25, but should be able to. What are your thoughts at that point?
No, the one thought I had, which I don't know if this is the case,
right?
I was thinking DNS or the name.
Oh, okay.
I had this happen to me once with Optimum Online, where they changed the name of the... They warned people, but they changed the name. So make sure what you... So I'm wondering if he has a DNS issue.
Wouldn't that affect more than... I mean, he'd have trouble downloading the podcast if he had a DNS issue.
Yeah, so... The name of the mail server being shared, and it's for some reason correct. But I'm with you. I think you could try to ping the mail server also, just to get a warm fuzzy there.
Sure, yeah, though some machines don't necessarily respond to pings, right?
Right, so. Or do an NS lookup on the mail server just to see if it resolves.
Yeah. Yeah, well, the telnet will do the NS lookup, right? I mean, if it says host can't be found.
I just wonder if the DNS got clobbered. Because I've seen that happen sometimes, that the DNSs get messed up. They may not work for a little while.
Yeah.
Until everything gets repopulated or repropagated.
Yeah.
That could be it. But yeah, your tip is right on the mark. Telnet, you know, on 25, assuming they're not doing SSL or some other wacky
authentication. That was my thought, was why not just use SSL? Try it, if it's not connecting on port 25, go in and turn on SSL. Most SMTP servers will accept it these days, and so you can try that. It would be, I believe, SSL is port 587, and I also believe that port 465, and that is completely from memory, but I believe port 465 is the accepted alternate for port 25 for places that don't accept it. And I might be confusing those two. It might be 465 for SSL and 587 is the accepted alternate. But those two things would those other ports would be good things to try to connect on, and you can configure that in mail as you can in just about any other mail client. You just set the port.
The other thing could be, if they are doing SSL, is that there are different protocols. There's older SSL. There's some newer called TLS.
Yep.
Which is the thing that came after. Maybe that has changed. So,
yep.
I don't know if mail logs this stuff anywhere.
You can tell mail to turn on logging via a command line switch. And I don't remember it off the top of my head, but I know there's a way. I saw it mentioned on Mac OS X Hints. So that would be another way. Otherwise, I'm thinking if you go to the command line and you can't do this, I'm thinking there's some firewall in the way. You may have installed some firewall or something on your Mac that prevents you from doing that, right? It would stand to reason that a great way to protect against, and I know we don't have any yet, but a great way to protect against these Trojans or viruses that relay spam for the world would be to simply stop your computer from being able to talk on port 25. If you configure your mail client to use SSL, then that's fine. Though I can't imagine there being a commercial package for the Mac that stops you from talking on port 25. You could certainly set up a firewall rule to do that from the command line. One line from the command, and you could stop your Mac from being able to send on. You could just tell it, take everything on port 25 and echo it off to nowhere, and that's that.
Yeah, I wonder if, because actually at the day job, we actually ran into this once. There's a bunch of us who are trying to do mail development.
Yep.
And all of a sudden, none of us who have machines with all sorts of corporate installed or corporate mandated goodies like McAfee,
right,
and things like that. And all of a sudden, none of us could get to the internal mail server. Like, what the heck? Finally, someone said, hey, check the settings on the antivirus. And apparently a new policy had been pushed, which said, disallow any communication on port 25 because we happen to run notes. So we don't need port 25 access.
Right.
So they figured the only thing that port 25 access could do is help spread chaos.
Yep. Huh.
Or, so somebody brings in something and all of a sudden their machine turns into a zombie.
Right.
Just blasting the mail off. So they did it as part of the McAfee package. I don't believe the McAfee package has the same capabilities, quite the same capabilities on the Mac side. But, and we were able to, of course, disable that. And then everything was great. But your hint was good because we even tried the Telnet thing. And what happened is it would say connection refused.
Yeah, and that's what you'd see. That's
rejected.
Right. Yeah. So try that out, Joe. Let us know. That's it. That's it for this week. And as far as normal shows go, we're actually off for 2 weeks. I am leaving on Friday, and I'm unplugging from the grid for like 9 days or something, John.
Thanks.
We're going on that Disney cruise with the family. So I'm looking forward to it, but I'm actually a little anxious about, not getting email and not being able to know that the world is okay without being connected. So
you can call me.
I'm not going to call anybody, man.
You can call. I'll tell you everything's okay.
No way, man.
Where can I call you?
Yeah, I don't think there's a phone number on the boat. I'm pretty sure that. Yeah, pretty sure that.
They got to have.
Yeah, they something. Do. They do. Yeah, absolutely. Though it is interesting. I was looking through my wish list from last year, and I don't mean to end this on a downward note, but I had gotten bit by that tick before we did the wish list thing last year, but hadn't yet contracted the Bell's palsy, which they presume was from the Lyme disease. And I actually said at the end of that show, one of the things on my wish list was, I hope I don't get Lyme disease. So there you go. So not everything comes true on these wish lists. So there you go. But we're leaving on the cruise a year to the day after I got that, after my face stopped working, and we're back at about 90% now. So I'm not complaining. I'm going to have to take a break from nation states too, John.
Ooh, make sure you put in vacation mode, right?
Yeah, that's right. Nationstates.net. Nationstates.net. I hit my 500 million population, so I was able to create my own what do you call it? My own
prefix.
Title. My own prefix. Thank you. Yeah, that's why we have you here. So
I had to look it up, though.
Yeah, well, everybody should. Everyone should know about the great defenestrations. So
defenestrate, that's today's word.
That's today's word. That's right. But if you look it up on Wikipedia, you'll learn about the great defenestrations. So But we may, there may be a show published next week. It might be, I might do a little Macworld Expo preview with Paul Kent and throw that up for your listening pleasure in our week off. So we shall, we'll see if I can make that work before, before this week ends for me. Cashfly Hosting is where you download the show from. If you're interested in hosting your static content, they are the place to go. Podcast Marketplace this month has the 6i Isolator earphones from Edemotic, the A5 desktop speakers from Audio Engine, of course, and TeachMac from TeachMac.com, all placed through the Backbeat Media Podcast Network. At Macworld Expo, we're doing that party, Cirque de Mac, January 10th, 8 p.m. Did we tell them where it was? Should we?
No.
We didn't? Oh, we'll tell them closer.
We shouldn't tell them it's at the Red Devil Lounge.
We shouldn't tell. Okay, we won't tell them that now. We'll tell them that maybe later. And I think that's it. I'm out. 206-666-GEEK. Right? MacGeekGab at
MacObserver.
That is 4335. That's right. MacGeekGab at MacObserver.com. We still have Gmail invites. They started replenishing again. That's it.
You got to vote. Vote, comment.
Vote early, vote often.
I voted often.
Did you? You should have. All right, John, for 2 weeks, we've got one piece of advice to leave them with. What is it?
Don't get caught.
Made up.